chatter, people connecting and have opportunity after that service. We have teas and coffees at the front, so do please feel free to stay behind and say hi and have tea and coffee, and there's juice as well. Wonderful. Now, I don't know whether you're into watching films. I like a good film to sit back and watch. I have to say the last film I went to watch was at the Everyman Cinema, where the seats are so comfortable and they serve you food. Within 10 seconds, I fell asleep when the film came on. Just one of those things. I mean, it was a film about physics, so... So anyway, my wife's a physics teacher, lecturer, so I do joke, I do jest. And but one of the films, I don't know, it's about 20, 25 years ago now. It's a film called In Time. And Justin Timberlake is in it. I don't know if you remember him. And I thought it's a really clever film. So it was clearly a film just to be entertaining, but within it, it just brought out how important time is. So people, rather than collecting money, they collected time, and they could collect it on this wristband. And if they wanted to purchase something, then you had to give some time. If you were employed and had a job at the end of the week or end of the month, you were given time. And in places where people were kind of slightly had less time, it was a little bit run down, and they maybe only had sometimes a few weeks on their wristband. And the whole thing was to gain more time. If you're kind of slightly more affluent, you lived in a different area, you could go to a different part of the city where you would have more time. But it just was saying that time, for some people brought out in the film, is more important even than money. And today's message is the best of time. And Queen Elizabeth I, before Queen Elizabeth II, when she was on her deathbed, she says, "All of my possessions for a moment of time. If only I could have a little bit more time." So we talk about, when people go to prison, of doing time. Our biggest excuse is not having enough time. The best thing that we can give somebody is time. The most popular magazine in the world is Time. And arguably the most asked question is, what time is it? Now, somebody says this: time is the greatest of healers, but the poorest of beauticians. Now, some people get better with age, don't they? And we're working on that. But God, as Scripture, God seems to be aware of the times and aware of what time it is at any point. So in Ecclesiastes, that we're looking at in our Connect group, it says in chapter 3, verse 11, "He, God, has made everything beautiful in its time. He's also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end." So we see evidence of things that God has done, but we will never fathom everything on this side of eternity. So if you're trying to get your head around everything that God does from beginning to end, then all the best with that, because there's no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And the Bible doesn't claim to be a scientific textbook. It claims to talk about who God is and who Jesus is, because we can never fathom everything from beginning to end. And God, in a sense, sometimes the Bible looks at the detail of life, but it also has this panoramic view. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, it says this: "Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years is like a day." So a thousand years might just be, a day might just be a thousand years to God, but I also like the thought that a day in my life, God sees as a thousand years as well, that he understands the minute details of my life, but he also sees the fuller picture from beginning to end. Now, it's interesting that heaven itself is described in terms of time. I mean, he talks about paradise, he talks about knowing the presence of God, but he talks about eternity. That's how he talks about heaven often, eternity, because that is a big thing for us, because many people want to live forever. And in Scripture says, he has set, this verse said, he has set eternity within our hearts. We have this sense that there's something more, don't we? Even people who don't follow Christ, there's this sense that there's something more. And there's this desire that time does not run out for our personal lives. The most famous verse in the New Testament, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. Jesus knew that would be important for people. Now, how patient are you when other people are late? How many of you say, think that you are quite patient? How many of you think, I'm not very patient? How many of you are the person that's always late? That's probably more nearer the truth for some of us. I like this particular text, the husband. He says, honey, I'm just finishing up at the pub with one last pint. If I'm not home in 20 minutes, read the text again. So in one sense, well, we know the truth is that God is outside of time because he creates time. He's not subject to time, but he's very conscious of time. And the wonderful thing is when Jesus came, he invades time and space. He comes within it, but he is also outside of time, but he's conscious of time. So in Romans 5, verse 6, it says, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. He knew the right time. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, about Jesus coming back again, you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. God knows the time. He's very conscious of his timings. Now, when we pray or we reach out to God, we'd like him to respond sooner rather than later. And there's an occasion towards the end of John's Gospel where a couple of Jesus' friends, actually, Mary and Martha, and their brother Lazarus, was very ill. And he actually passes away. And they said, Lord, if you'd been here, this would not have happened. And when Jesus decided to make his move, Lazarus had been dead for four days. But Jesus knew his particular timing and what he was doing, because he was demonstrating his power over death. He timed it exactly right. Now, we don't always in this world get all that we want when we want it this time of this side of heaven. But I'm sure there's many of you here that part of your testimony of your relationship with God, that occasionally you've been amazed at God's timing. That at just the right time, God did something you thought. Not only did God do it, but he revealed how caring he was, how wonderful he was, because his timing was immaculate. And I'm sure there's many testimonies that can be told of that, even though we don't get everything that we want this side of heaven. But some things do become a little bit more urgent at times, don't they? And I like the verse where it says that God knows what we need before we ask. I love the fact that he knows what we need before we ask. And I love the fact that some of my testimonies at times have been that God has acted before I've even asked, because he knew what I needed. But it's still a spiritual principle to come before our Heavenly Father and pray in the name of Jesus, because he loves that relationship, doesn't he? He loves that relationship. It's great to testify to his goodness. Now, there's a wonderful passage in the book of Ecclesiastes about time, and chapter 3 lists that there's a time for everything and a number of things that there's a time for. So there's one or two of them going to come up on the screen. It's not all of them that's listed, but it says there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to search and a time to give up. I really get frustrated when I lose something in my house where I thought I knew where it was. And when he says, oh, it's in that cupboard, I say, I've looked. No, I've looked. So she comes in and picks it up straight away. A time to search, a time to give up, a time to embrace, a time to refrain, a time to keep, and a time to throw away. There you go, for your hoarders. There's a time to throw away and a time to keep, a time to be silent and a time to speak. Now, this is not saying, when it says there's a time for everything, it's not quite saying that you can automatically fit everything in to what you would like to fit in. Sometimes we say that we've done a task and we say that I did that and saved time. Well, the problem is we can't save time because time does not stop. I mean, we can use time well or badly. Even if you've got a stopwatch, your time doesn't stop when you press your stopwatch. Maybe it stops when you finish running and how done you know how fast you've been. But we can waste time. Somebody once says this: throughout history, man's inventions have been time savers. Then came television, or I would say social media. There's many things, aren't there, where we can feel that we waste time. But there's different times, there's different seasons. But you can tell a person's priorities often with what they'll do with their money, their bank balance, and what they do with their time. As it says, time will tell. Time tells us a lot of things. But this certainly isn't a time for everything. Now, we're all different, aren't we? We're all different. As I've said, my wife, Wendy, she's a morning person. I'm not a morning person or an evening person. I'm not very good at most times of the day, probably between 11 and 9 and 11 in the morning, kind of at my best, but I'm not a good morning person, not a good evening person. We're all very different. No one has all the time in the world. But it tells us, shows us some of our priorities. Stephen Covey was using an illustration in one of his books, Seven Habits of Successful People, and he used an illustration, which I think some of you might have heard, but it's about a teacher who was speaking to a group of students, pulled out an extremely large jar, set it on the table, then he produced a dozen big rocks, bigger than these, I think, imagine a big sweetie jar, and placed them on the table, one at a time, put them into the jar. When the jar was full to the top, no more rocks would fit in, he said, "Is this jar full?" to the students. Everyone said, "Yes." "Really?" he asked. "Well, let's see." He took out some gravel, dumped it in the jar. He shook the jar, causing the pieces to fall into the spaces between the big rocks. He asked the students again, "Is the jar full?" His class was catching on and said, "Probably not," one of them answered. "Very good," he replied. He brought out a bucket of sand. He dumped the sand in and he went into the spaces between the rocks and the gravel. Then he asked, "Is the jar full?" "No," the class shouted. "Excellent," he replied. Then he grabbed a pitcher, a bucket of water, poured it into the jar until it was filled to the brim. The teacher looked intently back at the students and said, "What is the point of this illustration?" One student says, "You can always fit more into your life if you really work at it." The teacher says, "That might be true to a degree, but it's not quite the point of this illustration." He says, "The point is, if you do not put the first rocks in first, you'll never get them in." Big rocks, what are the priorities and the things that we value most? Because they have to go in first and remain in. Whatever season we're in, there are still priorities for our lives. There are some big, big, big rocks. And I'm going to suggest just one or two of them in the few moments I've got left. Family and relationships, connecting with people, very important. Family and relationships are massive. One of the things that people often regret when a loved one has passed away is that they've not spent more time with them. Family relationships are a big rock. It's interesting in when Jesus, you know, was talking to people about following him, he was saying, don't just get involved in loads of religious things and put your family to one side, pretending, well, I'm just doing what God wants me to do and hiding behind religion. Alternatively, he's saying, don't also hide behind your family as an excuse that you can't connect meaningfully with God as well. But that is a big rock. The use of our abilities, our time, dare I say, work or studying, that's a big rock. I mean, that is in there, isn't it? And in Ecclesiastes 12, it says this, I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they are alive, they live, finding satisfaction in the toil. This is a gift of God. So even our work, even our study, it's a gift of God. It brings great fulfillment, and that's a big rock that goes in. Health is a big one. Time for yourself, looking after yourself, rest. Right back in beginning of creation, as is recorded right at the start of the Bible. 6 days we work and one day you rest. And one of the great leaders, Rick Warren, of a church, one of the big leaders of churches in America, Rick Warren, he says, don't work all day, don't work all week, don't work all year. Know what is good timing for yourself. Good rest. Good social life. Things that you enjoy. Not all the time, but it is a rock that goes in. And finally, the fourth one I'm going to mention is that what has to go in this jar, what a big rock, clearly has to be our relationship with God. Clearly, that has to be a big rock that goes in, that is not taken out. Now, you might be a person that's here this morning and not too even sure what church is about. Maybe you've come to the city of Birmingham and flatmate has encouraged you to come along, so this is something that is new for you. But I would just encourage you, if that's you, that this becomes a new rock in this way, that you take the opportunity to find out about this, to find out about who God is, find out about the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even just for a season, even just for a period, let that be a big rock for you, that at least you'd find out once and for all. And we can give suggestions as you might do that. But also, there's ways for us as Christians to make sure that our relationship with God is set true. So if God gives us the gift of time, if he gives us the gift of eternity and all the time in the world, it is important that a priority would be our time with him and the things that he has for us. So here are some of the kind of mini rocks that go along, the big rocks for those of us are Christians. We mentioned about firstly taking a good look if you're wanting to find out a little bit more about Christianity. But a big rock for me is to stay focused as a Christian, to stay focused. In the Lord's Prayer, it says, give us this day our daily bread. I mean, the Lord wants to feed us each day, not food, but spiritual food. Things that help us to stay focused on target, to see life in the perspective that God has. And reading God's word is very important for that. Now, I love using an app because I like to listen to it. It takes about 10 minutes each morning. And it's simply called Our Daily Bread. It's a fantastic app. Christians call it devotionals, it's a passage of the Bible, a little bit of a thought and a prayer. And I can tell you the amount of times, not every time, it's as if person doing that devotion is doing it just for me. Just a sense that God just knew what was on my mind and was on my heart and speaking into it. And the good thing is that the other times is as if God was telling me what's on his agenda. Not me telling him what's on my agenda. But it's important that we don't just see the world from the world's perspective. Because out there in the world, as somebody says, there's truth, there's half-truth, there's those things that are opposed to the truth. How do we remain focused if we don't look into God's word on a regular basis? And I would encourage you that one of the rocks in your jar is to spend time with God on a regular basis. I really do encourage that. Now, about 2 months ago, Wendy insisted that I got new glasses. Glasses are so expensive. I used to get mine from Sainsbury's. I used to get 10 pairs from Sainsbury's and put them all over Birmingham. Everywhere where I might go and need glasses, I would put some glasses. But Wendy says you really need some, because on a Sunday morning she says you keep putting your glasses on, taking them off, putting them on, putting them off. So I had to get some varifocals, because if I take them off, I can't see the words. And if I keep them on, I couldn't see you. But now I can see you, which is really sweet. It's really nice. And I couldn't believe how expensive they are. Somebody says, where are you going to keep your glasses? I said, I'm going to keep them in the safe, because they're so expensive. But focus is important, isn't it? Focus is really important. And they help me, in simple illustration, to keep things in focus, keep you in focus. And when we read God's word, it helps us to keep perspective, life in focus, people in focus. So it's a rock that we need in there. Secondly, and we've touched on it this morning, so I won't take too much, is connection with other believers, fellowship. And the Bible says, do not get into the habit of not meeting together. What it is saying, make sure it's a rock in your life that you do meet together, that you do connect with other Christians. Now, we're not all perfect. All Christians aren't perfect. Sometimes it can be a challenge. But it's a way that God kind of helps us to grow. We encourage each other. We spur each other on. And we knock edges off each other a little bit, don't we? We shape each other. You see, God refers to his church as the bride of Christ. He loves his church. Loves it when we connect. And it's not just about meeting in a building. That is not the high purpose of God, to meet in the building. The high purpose of God is that we should know him, love him, worship him, yes. But part of our worship, it really is connecting with one another in a way that the world from the outside looks in and say, wow, there's something going on there. How Christians relate to each other is something that demonstrates that God is real more than anything else. So I just encourage you, we talked about connect groups, try and make sure that connecting with other Christians is a big rock within your jar. G.K. Chesterton says this, the man who lives in a small community lives in a much larger world. It's in community that disciples are made. So it might seem big meeting on a Sunday morning, but God's got bigger things for us as well as we connect with other Christians. So, and thirdly and finally, in our relationship with God, important rocks, stay focused, spending time with God, connecting with other believers. And the third one is fruitfulness, making a difference, making a difference. So Ecclesiastes, he says this, chapter 3, verse 14, it says, I know that everything God does endures forever. Everything God does endures forever. Everything God puts his hand on endures forever. And guess what? We are called, have the privilege of being co-workers with the purposes of God, and the things that he can give us to do in serving him can actually make a difference which lasts forever, which is a wonderful truth. Don't know if some of you know, you do know of, because we mentioned him a few times, Eric Liddell, who was an Olympic sprinter and very prominent at the 1924 Olympic Games in Paris, which is why the Olympic Games were in Paris in 2024. He was a Christian. He didn't want to run on a Sunday, but then he couldn't do his event, but then he did run on a different day, and he won a gold medal in an event that wasn't really his best. Eric Liddell, though, also, not long after those Olympics, went off to China as a missionary to serve God. And I'll say this about Eric Liddell, and I love the film The Chariots of Fire. Great music, great film. Eric Liddell is remembered 100 years on, and I think it will go on for a little while longer. What he did in China will last for eternity. It will go even further. And God really gives us this privilege of serving him. serving his purposes. And I would encourage every believer and follower of Christ to make sure it's a rock within your jar that you say, God, how can I serve you? It's not about just serving in the church, because many of you might serve God in other settings as well. But there are areas within our church that you can serve. As we mentioned last week, we have something called serve teams. Won't go into all the detail, but there's many teams within our church where people can serve. And let me say this, I think it's fantastic when you serve God, when you serve as part of a team. I think there's just something about that, just something wonderful. We have a number of serve teams. We have worship team, we have a welcome team, we have teas and coffees teams, we have connect group teams, we have teams that work with children and students and young people. I'm trying to remember some of the others, the AV desk. There's a lot of different teams that people can get involved in, and you can find out about those on our website. If you come to the church for a few months, then feel free to have a look at that. Say, God, have you got something for me? So let's make sure that if you're following Christ, that's a big rock within our lives, spending time with him, fellowship, making a difference. And finally, I might have said that already, finally. I might have said it twice, actually. Finally, final point, we should trust God's timing. We should trust God's timing. Selwyn Hughes, who wrote Every Day with Jesus Bible Notes, he says this, timing is important in all that we seek to do for God. Many a life has been shipwrecked spiritually because of impulsiveness and haste. A right action can turn out to be wrong simply because it was mistimed. Many occasions we fail the waiting test. Sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes we have to wait. In the book of James, chapter 4, verse 13, says this, and we're drawing to a close. It says, now listen, you who say, tomorrow or today or tomorrow, we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. Instead, you should say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this and do that. There's a danger of rushing into things. Sometimes it's not as if it's the wrong thing, but there can be a danger in rushing into things. But let me say this, that there's also a danger in not stepping forward. There's always a danger in not stepping forward. And as we go through life, there's different points, aren't there, where we would need to be patient, we need to wait, but then there's times in which we need to push forward, and we have to join up the dots. We have to recognize the season that we're in. In Ecclesiastes 3, verse 5, says there's a time to refrain, there's a time to embrace. So there might be something this morning that you have a sense of God saying, oh, just be a little bit patient, just wait my timing. But then there might be something for some of us when saying, no, come on, get on with this. It's time to make your move. Don't procrastinate any longer, which can be one of my problems. There's a time to step back. There's a time to step forward. Charles Dickens says this. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. But God wants to bless our time. Amen. I'm going to invite the band to come up and join me. In a moment, they're going to lead us in one final song, and then you're very welcome to stay behind and have teas and coffee. Also, at the end of the service, if people would like, individually, like somebody to pray for you, then we'd be delighted to do that. You can just come and gather at the front, then one or two of our team will be there. We'll be delighted to pray for you. But we've been sitting for a little while, so I'm going to invite you to join me in standing if you're able, and we're going to pray, and then the band are going to lead us in this final song. But let's close our eyes just for a moment. You don't have to close your eyes to pray, but it can help us to focus and reflect. And maybe within your own heart you might be thinking, Lord, I think you might be saying something to me this morning regarding time. Or you might be saying within it all, Lord, is there something that you are saying to me this morning regarding this message or in this particular season? Maybe the point at the end of trusting God's timing is something that you need to bring to Him. And you resolve with the Lord to say, Lord, I just sense that you've got this in hand. I'm going to trust you. The Bible says He fills us with all joy and peace as we trust in Him. Fills with the joy and peace as we trust. Lack of trust can rob us of joy and peace. And maybe this morning's something that you're saying, God, I trust you with this. Maybe this morning that you just reminded of what big rocks should be within your life, those big priorities that should be there. And maybe you just want to thank the Lord, saying, God, thank you for bringing this back to mind. I recognize I do need to make this a priority. And sometimes there's rocks within there that should be taken out that shouldn't be a priority, that are very time consuming, but not really good. It's not as if we can't enjoy ourselves in different ways, but sometimes we have a rock in there that we think, God, this needs to go. This needs to come out for other things to go in. Maybe that you resolve to download this Our Daily Bread app, or just find a way of connecting with God for a few minutes each day to get Him in focus, life in focus. Maybe that a big rock for you is to connect with followers of Christ a little bit more, being a little bit more consistent with that. And it may be that your prayer is, God, I really want to make a difference. Just give me that pathway in order to do it. Lord, we do thank you for each other this morning. We thank you that we have an individual relationship with you. The potential is there. Thank you that you want us to be with you forever. And thank you that while we're here, you give us all the time in the world. And we commit these things to you, Lord, the thing that you placed on my heart to resolve with you this morning. Lord, I pray that for each of us, what we bring to you, what you're saying to us, will cause a positive change, a positive move as we move forward. Thank you for our time left here on earth. Thank you, you have great purpose for us, and we commit each other to you. In Jesus' name, amen.